This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief over at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 87 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. I often get asked whether I care more about my personal fantasy football teams or just the general advice that I give. When I'm watching football, am I rooting for the players on my fantasy teams, or am I rooting for players that I touted throughout the week? Oftentimes, there's overlap. Not just because I play in a ton of fantasy football leagues, but because I obviously use my own advice. But sometimes there's not overlap, and I can easily say that I care far more about my work than I do my own fantasy football teams. This is a big week. I know it's a big week. It's a big week for you, and it's a big week for me. People want to make the correct start-sit decisions and overall reads on this slate, because if they don't, their season could be over. And as usual, I understand that this podcast may not include players on your teams, but having a general idea of this slate and how things might go down is still really important. And hopefully this podcast allows you to get a deeper understanding of who's the right play and who's not this week, or at least the process of finding who's the right play and who isn't this week. But before we look at these starts and sits, I wanted to tell you about the free FanDuel Scout app. Scout syncs with your FanDuel lineup to bring you injury notifications, instant player analysis, and game time updates, so you'll never get burned by a late scratch or last minute injury. Scout also provides NumberFire's advanced analytics and game previews so you can build smarter lineups. Download the free Scout app now on iOS and Android to get started. Now let's dig into these starts and sits. The first fringe player that I like this week at quarterback is Blake Bortles, who's going up against Houston. It's really easy to make fun of Blake Bortles, but he's actually ranked as a top 10 passer in fantasy football in each of his last three games, averaging over 22 points per contest during the stretch. And over his last two, he's thrown for a pair of touchdowns in each game. And he actually has thrown a touchdown pass in all but two games this season. That provides some sort of floor for you each week when you use Blake Bortles. And in week 15, like I said, he's going to face the Texans. Houston has not been great against opposing passers. Our schedule-adjusted net expected points metric at NumberFire does peg them as just a below-average secondary, but they've actually allowed a top 10 quarterback performance in six of their last nine nice games. The only quarterbacks to not finish that high in ranking were Kevin Hogan, Joe Flacco, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Kevin Hogan and Joe Flacco aren't good fantasy quarterbacks, and Jimmy Garoppolo still threw for 334 yards. I don't think that Blake Bortles has this crazy high ceiling this week, but Jacksonville is a 10.5-point favorite, and he's proven to have a reasonable floor all season long. I think you could do far, far worse off the waiver wire. Another waiver wire quarterback that I love this week is Jimmy Garoppolo against Tennessee. I talked about this on my 15 Transactions podcast earlier this week, but the average quarterback in 2017 has thrown a touchdown for every 158.85 passing yards. Jimmy Garoppolo has thrown one for every 322.5 passing yards. There's positive regression that is going to hit Jimmy Garoppolo eventually, but this matchup is also pretty nice for him this week. Now, you might look at how Tennessee's performed recently and be a little bit scared. They've allowed just one touchdown pass over their last three games, but they've also faced Jacoby Brissett, Tom Savage, and Blaine Gabbert. Even in a down year for quarterbacks, those guys aren't very good. And that's actually been the case for Tennessee all season long, which is why they still rank really low in terms of NumberFire's schedule-adjusted metrics. They've been fine against bad quarterbacks, but players like Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and even Derek Carr all had strong outings against the Titans. Jimmy Garoppolo has averaged over 300 yards in each of his two starts with the 49ers, throwing the ball an average of 35 times per game. And that passing volume should be there even though the 49ers are favorites in this contest. And the reason for that is because no team in the NFL has faced more pass attempts than the Tennessee Titans. I really like Jimmy Garoppolo this week. A couple of other quarterbacks that you should be starting: Ben Roethlisberger against New England in a great spot, and I love Phillip Rivers up against Kansas City. On the sit side of things, I wouldn't be playing Alex Smith against the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers secondary is so legit, you guys. It's a top 5 unit according to NumberFire's metrics, but that's also skewed a bit by some early season struggles. They've allowed just 5 passing touchdowns over their last 9 games. They're holding quarterbacks over this time to about 175 yards passing. Only Tom Brady and Tyrod Taylor over this stretch have ranked as top 12 quarterbacks against Los Angeles, and it took Tyrod Taylor a rushing touchdown to get there. Alex Smith has seen up and down production throughout this back half of the season, and I do not think at all he is worth a start against this great Chargers secondary. And I also don't know how you can start Andy Dalton at Minnesota. He was a dumpster fire against Chicago last week, which is just going to add to the mistrust that you will have with him this week against Minnesota, which is one of the best defenses that we have in football. Dalton's averaging 2 passing scores per game over his last 5 contests, and he's now going up against a secondary, though, that surrendered just 12 touchdowns all season long, the second fewest in the NFL. And when adjusted for strength of opponent, Minnesota's secondary is a top 10 one according to Number Fire metrics. The Bengals are on the road, they're big underdogs, and Andy Dalton is not someone that I have faith in during the fantasy football semifinals. 2 other quarterbacks you can't trust this week in a week where there's a lot of good quarterback options: Jacoby Brissett against Denver and Tyrod Taylor against Miami. At running back this week, I would have a very hard time benching Kenyon Drake up against Buffalo. In 2 games without Damian Williams in the picture for the Dolphins, Kenyon Drake has averaged 24 carries, 117 rushing yards, 0.5 rushing touchdowns, 5.5 targets, and 50 receiving yards per game. That is insane. But the most important piece to all of that is volume, because even if there isn't that efficiency moving forward, he at least is seeing volume. He has seen 48 of a possible 54 running back carries during these 2 games. So if Damian Williams is out once again, and even if he's not, I think that it would be strange to see the Dolphins just rush him back and give him a ton of carries. Drake could eat once again against Number Fire's bottom-ranked rush defense in Buffalo. As long as Mike Davis is healthy this week, I think that he's in play as well against the Rams. Not only has he carried the ball 31 times over the last 2 weeks for the Seahawks, but Seattle's at home this week, they're slight favorites, and the game has a fairly high over-under. Oh, and by the way, the Rams have given up more fantasy points to the running back position this year than any other team in the league. If Mike Davis is healthy, monitor his situation, he probably should be in your fantasy football lineup. Lastly, I like Latavius Murray going up against Cincinnati. You might not feel very confident in Latavius Murray this week after his Week 14 stinker. But he also faced one of the better rush defenses in football, and there was a negative game script which forced Jerick McKinnon on the field more. This game against Cincinnati should be vastly different. The Vikings are double-digit favorites, which should lead to more rushes and potential scoring opportunities. And on the year, Latavius Murray has been the goal line back for Minnesota. He has 9 goal line touches compared to Jerick McKinnon's 5. Cincinnati's also coming off back-to-back games where they allowed top 4 running back performances. Now, I get it. One of them was to Le'Veon Bell, the other one was to Jordan Howard. But Jordan Howard rushed for 147 yards against this Bengals defense last week. I think that Latavius Murray owners really should be confident in him this week. Other running backs that I like: Alfred Morris against Oakland and Deion Lewis against Pittsburgh. On the sit side of things, if a running back is seeing volume, he generally should be in your fantasy football lineup. That's just what the landscape is right now. Orleans Darkwa is someone that you could have trusted over the last month, but not anymore. He did have 10 carries last week, but he played just 24% of New York snaps, which is his lowest snap rate since week 3. Wayne Gallman was the one who took his spot. He played 18 more snaps while running the ball 12 times. I think the Giants just want to see what they have in Gallman, which makes Darkwa an easy sit candidate this week, especially when you consider the matchup. The Eagles have allowed the fewest fantasy points to the running back position this year. I would also not be playing Doug Martin, even though it's a decent matchup against Atlanta. Doug Martin has played 9 games this year, and over his last 7 contests, he's ranked higher than RB27 in PPR leagues exactly 0 times. We can make excuse after excuse after excuse for Doug Martin, but the truth is, Peyton Barber has outperformed Doug Martin this year. I'm not saying Peyton Barber is a better running back than Doug Martin, but he has certainly outperformed Doug Martin this year. He has a 46.15% success rate, or the percentage of positive expected points runs deemed by our net expected points metric that we use at Number Fire, while Martin's is sitting at a far below average 29.46%. That's a massive discrepancy in success rate. And in week 14, Doug Martin ended up getting benched after a fumble, and Peyton Barber came in and outproduced him once again. It just wouldn't make any sense for Tampa Bay to just start Doug Martin again. And even if they do start Doug Martin, why would you start Doug Martin? What has Doug Martin done to let you know that he is a viable option in fantasy football? He's just not worth the start. Other running backs that I wouldn't feel confident playing: Frank Gore, coming off that huge game against Buffalo, a much more difficult matchup against Denver, and on top of that, they're probably not going to be nearly as run heavy as they were last week. And keep an eye on the Detroit running backs as well. Theo Riddick might not be a play if Amir Abdullah is back. At wide receiver this week, I like Marquise Goodwin once again as he's facing Tennessee. In 2 games with Jimmy Garoppolo under center, Marquise Goodwin has seen 20 targets and a near 29% target share in the 49ers offense. Now, he's still yet to connect on a touchdown, but with 14 catches and over 200 yards in these 2 games, touchdowns will come. Tennessee is a bottom half team in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers, and they're a bottom half team in air yards allowed, according to airyards.com. That'll be very big for Marquise Goodwin, who has one of the highest average depth of targets among relevant wide receivers this year. Mohamed Sanu is another wide receiver that I like this week as he's facing Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers are the best wide receiver matchup in football. They've got a bottom three secondary according to NumberFire's metrics, and they've surrendered the most fantasy points to the wide receiver position this year. And we've seen the Bucs struggle against slot receivers. Last week, Golden Tate was wide receiver 10 against them. Jarvis Landry back in week 11 was also wide receiver 10. And back in week 6, Larry Fitzgerald was wide receiver 2. And even Sanu himself back in week 12 had 8 catches on 9 targets for 64 yards. I think that he should have a nice floor this week, and obviously if he finds the end zone, he'll have a good ceiling as well. Dede Westbrook is a great play, I think, against Houston. Since Westbrook came off of IR 4 games ago, he's seen 26% of the Jaguars' targets, averaging almost 9 targets per game. And during this 4-week stretch, he's seen 9 deep balls, which are targets that travel 15 or more yards through the air. That's a top 20 number across these 4 weeks. I already talked about Blake Bortles and that I like Blake Bortles. I like Dede Westbrook because he's going to be on the receiving end of Blake Bortles' passes. The Texans are 7th in the league in air yards allowed, and they've allowed the 8th most fantasy points to wide receivers this year. So given Dede Westbrook's usage, I think that he's a great play. A couple of other wide receivers I love, Devin Funchess going up against Green Bay, fantastic spot for him. And I don't mind Demaryius Thomas against Indianapolis, though Rashawn Melvin could be back for them. Robbie Anderson is someone that I wouldn't trust fully this week. If you're benching Robbie Anderson, the fear is that he's actually performed with Bryce Petty under center in the past, both in the regular and in the preseason. But there are two other things in play with Robbie Anderson this week: matchup and regression. Like I talked about on the 15 Transactions podcast earlier this week, Anderson has scored way too many touchdowns when compared to his target, reception, and yardage totals. And he's yet to score from within 18 yards out. But in addition to this, he's going to be facing Marshawn Lattimore in the Saints secondary this weekend. The Saints rank as NumberFire's 7th best schedule-adjusted pass defense. And I'm not sure that volume is just automatically going to be there for Robbie Anderson just because the Jets are going to be in a negative game script. Because the Saints have actually seen the 11th fewest passes against them this year. As big favorites, the fear is that the Saints grind the clock down with their unstoppable run game. And if Bryce Petty is as inefficient as he's been in the small sample that we have, the whole Jets offense could just struggle. Unsurprisingly, I don't love T.Y. Hilton against Denver this week either. I feel like that I talk about T.Y. Hilton every single week on every single podcast that I do. And you have to ask yourself, is he going to show up this week? Will it be one of the games like we saw against the Browns, the 49ers, and the Texans where he ranked as a top 6 wide receiver? Or will it be a game like we've seen against every other team that he's pretty much faced? My money is on the latter. The Broncos, even though the Broncos have allowed the most receiving touchdowns in football, they're fine against opposing wide receivers. They've actually given up just 12 wide receiver touchdowns, which is very average across the league. Denver's actually allowed the fewest receiving yards to the position. They've given up the most passing touchdowns, but the fewest receiving yards to wide receivers this year. Given T.Y. Hilton's inconsistency, I don't know how you can trust him in the fantasy football semifinals. Two other wide receivers to sit, Josh Doctson against Arizona, and in shallower leagues, Tyreek Hill is kind of risky. We have the same dilemma that we do every single week at tight end. If your tight end is seeing volume, he's worthy of a start. But even still, I like Jack Doyle an extra amount this week as he's facing Denver. He's seen 22.39% of Indianapolis's targets over the team's last 5 games, and he has a near 22% target share on the season. That's a top 5 mark among all tight ends playing this weekend. Denver's a good matchup for Jack Doyle as well. Only 2 teams have allowed more yards and touchdowns to tight ends than the Broncos have this year. If you want to dig a little bit deeper, I kind of like OJ Howard against Atlanta. You know, it hasn't been strange to see OJ Howard play more snaps than teammate Cameron Brate. That's been common throughout the entire season. But OJ Howard, over the last 3 weeks, has seen the highest snap rate that a tight end for the Bucs has captured all season long, and he's hit the 70% snap mark in each of his last 5 games. Most importantly, during the team's last 3 contests, OJ Howard has actually run 14 more routes than Cameron Brate, according to Pro Football Focus. That's where things have changed. He's running more routes now. We didn't see that earlier in the season, despite OJ Howard playing more snaps. And all of this has resulted in 50-plus receiving yards in 3 of his last 4 games. This matchup is not a spectacular one by any means, but OJ Howard is probably the best realistic streaming option at tight end this week. A couple of other tight ends that you can take a look at in deeper leagues: Charles Clay, maybe, and then Jared Cook against Dallas. The only tight end that I have as a sit this week is Tyler Kroft at Minnesota. Like I said, tight end is a mess. If you have a tight end who's seeing volume, he should be in your lineup. Maybe Tyler Kroft is in your consideration set, but if he is, he's a very hard sell. He's only seen 10.32% of the team's targets over his last five games, and he's going up against a defense that's top five in the league against the position in almost any category that you look at. Tyler Kroft should not be in your lineup. On defense this week, you have to play the New Orleans Saints against the Jets. Among the 51 quarterbacks with 100 or more passes over the last 2 years, only Kevin Hogan has a worse adjusted net yards per attempt rate than Bryce Petty. That's the second time that Kevin Hogan has been mentioned on this podcast today. But Bryce Petty is starting for the Jets. And within that same subset, Petty's sacks per attempt ratio is the 11th worst. He's thrown 3 touchdowns and 7 interceptions over his career as well. All of this means that the Saints are a good play as massive, massive home favorites this week. Two other defenses that I like, Washington, who's facing Arizona. Arizona traveling from the west to the east. That's one team where you do have to consider that. And Denver, who's going to be playing at Indianapolis. On the sit side of things, I'm not totally in love with the Seattle Seahawks defense going up against the Rams this week. Now, Seattle's defense has certainly been a beastly play at home over the last few years. But there's a little bit of a concern this week. They're coming off a down performance on the road against a beatable Jaguars offense. They allowed 30 points and didn't register any sacks. And they'll be going up against a Rams offense that's allowed just one top 10 performance to opposing defense all season long. Yes, that defense was Seattle, but the Seahawks defense is a much different unit now than it was then. They're not a terrible option. I don't absolutely despise the Seahawks this weekend, but I think that other defenses are better, like the Saints. Couple of other defenses that I wouldn't be playing, Cincinnati going on the road against Minnesota, please do not. And New England is playing in Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh offense has looked very, very hot. I would not be playing the Patriots D. That's it for this week's Start Sit episode though, everyone. I appreciate you listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the show, do so by going to iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, and Stitcher. And don't forget to leave a rating and review on iTunes, you guys. At the end of the month, I'll draw a random reviewer's name, and that person will then go on to win a free NumberFire premium subscription for an entire year. Thanks, everyone. I'll talk to you tomorrow with the mailbag episode.